Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's been an interesting few days. I know there's been a lot going on with the Leafs. There's been a lot going on outside of the Leafs. So we're not going to talk about anything other than the Leafs today. Today is just going to be about the Leafs. Whether or not you think they're playing well or not, it's really hard right now. And look, I've been one of those people that have tried to stay on board with everything that's going on with the Leafs. It's, you know, a new season, new guys. It's going to take time for things to come together. Their schedule has been terrible with the back-to-backs. But the last two games have shown me that this team, there's an identity problem right now with this team. Is that a fair assessment? Austin and Jake, of course, join me as usual. Gentlemen, I will open the floor to you. Do you think that this team is lacking identity right now?
You want to go first, Jake, or you want me to?
Yeah, no, I'll do it. I mean, of course they are. I mean, they just you go into a game, and it's like with every team. I guess I'll compare it with the Raptors. Whenever you go into a game, you're always thinking, okay, well, they could play awful tonight. They could shoot 10 for 90. But they're going to play defense.
Yep.
The Leafs, it used to be like the whole thing where, you know, the Dubas, I guess, you know, I've been pretty harsh on him lately. I mean, there's a ton of people that just back him just because he's like similar to us. He's like kind of a nice story. But the main calling card for him is that the Leafs are going to win based on skill and speed and skill and talent. And the main calling card for, you know, whenever people who are hockey traditionalists would say, oh, well, they're not tough enough, or, you know, they're not, you know, punching guys after the whistle. The whole thing for, you know, myself and I know you guys and Dubas would be like, okay, fine, they can punch us in the face. Then on the power play, we'll go and score. Like, that's our toughness. That's what Babcock said. But now the power play is horrible. Like, it might be the worst power play in the entire league. And I thought we watched it last night with the Islanders. It turns out we were watching the same game, but it was not the Islanders.
Yep. Not only has their power play been bad, Austin, their penalty kill has been... I would argue the penalty kill has looked better than the power play, and that's...
I thought you were going to say it's looked worse, and I was going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
No.
Relax with that.
It's actually looked better than the power play, and that is...
Not saying a lot, but
it does say how talent usually reigns supreme on the power play, and penalty killing is not as much skill as it is just being in the right position and stuff like that.
Power play last night, 0 for 2. 0 shots.
Yeah.
Just let that ring for a second. How does that happen with the amount of talent one has compiled on a team like the Leafs?
I think the like highlighted play of the entire game last night was that power play where they didn't get a single shot, and just Casey Cizikas. Like, the guy is nothing. He's what, like 5'5", 100 nothing, and he's got, you know, very little natural talent. But he just worked his balls off and won like 4 puck battles with our guys. Stole it from Matthews, stole it from Barry. He almost scored. And I mean, you just look at that. And I've played in games where the talent level is like massive disparity. And it was in that game. There's what? Maybe of the five or six best naturally skilled players, I'd say maybe 5 of the 6 are Leafs, and they just have these players that work their balls off. And I mean, that's not even a toughness thing for me. It's just they have guys that are consistently the hardest working guys. As on like the flip side of that, based on me saying like 5 of the top 6 talented players on the ice were Leafs, probably 9 of the 10 hardest working players were on the Islanders.
Yeah.
I think the big thing about Barry Trotz, and this goes back to his Nashville days, like, these guys were not, like, the Predators had good defensemen, but they didn't have superstar talent. But they were so good because he got them to buy into a system. And that's what he has the Islanders working with right now. Because you look at their goals, you know, minus the, I think, the first goal, where let's start with that one first. So... Janssen makes I saw that that back pass, and I could not believe it that I saw an NHL player actually play it back like that, and William Nylander actually took responsibility for it after the game,
which is, I don't want to be a William Nylander homer, but we talked about, we for background, Dave and
was
I
he
were
even
watching
on
the
ice
together last night.
Yeah, he was the one that apparently the pass was meant for.
Janssen got the puck and wheeled to, I think it was the left side boards. Nylander, I guess he thought William Nylander was wheeling with him down the same wing for a drop pass, and William Nylander was covering the center lane on the breakout, or on the neutral zone, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's just a stupid play, and yes, Nylander, I mean, he got beat there by Eberle, but... That is what it is. They were just scrambling at that point, so the play was completely blown up after the turnover.
He made a decent attempt to try to get the puck back, though. He didn't just let Eberle walk in. He tried to go get the puck back. But this is the part that kills me. It was that goal, and I think it was the second Beauvillier goal, the one that went through the backhander in front of the net that Anderson just looked. I could not believe that one went in. Two instances where guys, like, a lack of awareness with the puck. You have possession. That's the part that kills me. They had possession, and then they go and make a play like that, and they gave them those goals. That's the part that kills me. And for most of that game, They dominated the Islanders. The Islanders didn't have a shot for, what, 14 minutes?
They didn't have a shot, yeah, easily for 14 minutes in the second period. And then it was killing when the only fucking shot they had went in. That was a bad goal, too. The one where he was – wasn't he facing backwards? And I don't know why Freddie thought a shit player was going to go high glove on him. Like, you're not playing against fucking Crosby. Like, he's never going to go backhand shelf on you. He's just going to try and stuff it in like a typical garbage goal that they would probably score. I thought he played really bad. But, I mean, it's a situation where he's played so well compared to everyone else that you can't even complain about him.
No. And the part that kills me, and if people think that this game is a one-off, no. Because you look at what happened in Chicago, and almost the same thing happened. That was probably one of the worst periods I had ever seen the Leafs play. They allow the two goals in 10 seconds where nobody decided they wanted to play hockey. They're just out there for a skate. And Patrick Kane is just like, oh, okay, thank you guys. I'm just going to roof it backhand on your goalie who you guys have zero confidence in. And then... yeah, let's tease them with the comeback. This is the part that kills me. In that Chicago game, the Leafs were teasing this comeback through the second and third period. You get it within a goal, and what do? You allow Jonathan Toews to find Brandon Saad streaking to the net. And it's just, you had the game, you had the Blackhawks on the ropes. And it's just flat out, I don't know what it is. I'm at a point right now. I mean, Austin, I know you're on the big, you know, Babcock deserves to shoulder a lot of the blame. And right now...
It's not fully on him, though.
It's not
on him. It's a mix of all three.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to say it's Mike Babcock's fault and his fault alone is lazy. Very lazy. Exactly. It's Mike Babcock's not at fault for Andreas Johnsson dropping the puck to nobody and it leading to a goal.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock's not at fault for, who was it, Muzzin, Barry, I guess, both blowing the zone on that Beauvillier goal with they didn't have the puck fully in possession. Both defensemen just jumped up for no reason when they had forward support. Like, these little screw-ups the Leafs have on a week-to-week basis or a game-to-game are not on the coach solely. They are on the players for being idiotic and not making the right plays. Babcock is in charge of putting a game plan in place that gives them the best chance to win and picking the players that will do the same. Whoa. And there's a discussion to be had about that, let's be honest. But to blame just Babcock alone is just not where we should be at. He is not the only one to be blamed for this, and he is not on the hot seat because of his actions alone. The team as a whole has been atrocious. Let's be fair.
I will put the penalty killing and the special teams, the power play and penalty killing, a lot of that, it appears to be to coaching because it's a case where they don't look like they know what they're doing on the power play. Nobody wants to shoot. Everyone's passing. Like I love seeing them kill their own power plays. That's the part that bothers me. And in that game last night, where they were down, you know, they still had a chance to tie the game. Tyson Barry held on to the puck for like 10 seconds when you had like less than 20 seconds left in the game. It feels like they're afraid to make a mistake. And
is ironic because they always make them.
Yes, and that's the part that kills me. A team that plays cautiously, like, look, we talked about how the Islanders' style is boring and they don't really do anything, but what they do really well is they capitalize on a mistake. We talked about TFC in Seattle. TFC, actually, I feel like this was a very comparable situation. TFC absolutely dominating Seattle, only to have Seattle sit back and take advantage of a TFC just looking gassed in the second half.
And they got a lucky own goal, and then it just turned the tide.
Exactly. So they had a meeting today, so they canceled practice, and they had a team meeting. they're about to play the Boston Bruins on Friday, and I mean, Boston is
who are depleted.
Yes, depleted. Blew a 4-goal lead to the Florida Panthers to lose in the
in one period.
One period. Very un-Boston Bruin like. Usually Boston is doing it the other way around. So, I think Boston. I don't know if Boston's playing tonight. I don't think they are. I'm just going to look.
I doubt it.
Because, well, I mean, why give Boston a back-to-back?
I mean, they do. To be fair, I think they do play Saturday.
Yeah. So I don't see Boston on the schedule here, so they probably do play on the Saturday. Let's see. Yeah, so they play Saturday against Washington. So Toronto's about to figure out what type of team they are when they play Boston, I feel like, on Friday.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a – I hate saying this, the statement win thing, but I think they need to win both, and they need to – win them pretty convincingly where they have to, I don't know if it's being, you know, all in or dominant, you know, on offensively or just effort. But I mean, if they lose both of these games, you can start, thanking the lucky stars that the Leafs protected that first round pick, because if they like they have games in error. Other teams have so many games in hand on the Leafs. Based on points percentage, they're at what? I think it's like a 90 or an 88 point pace. Yeah. That's just not.
It's not where it
has to be. And I can't believe how lucky they are that they're not completely like 10 games or 10 points out at this point. Considering how bad they've played, for them to be in the position they are, is they're extremely lucky.
What will define it, as you just said, it, I think will be the games in hand. If teams like, you know, Boston, Tampa, Montreal.
Tampa, who's up 4-0 in the first 10 minutes against the Rangers.
Oh, sweet. Good
Jesus.
Thing I didn't have Henrik Lundqvist in fantasy point today, although he's not playing anyways.
No, it's not him.
Georgiev. But good on Tampa to get. Oh, Luke Shen has a goal tonight for the Tampa Bay.
No.
I'm just.
Come on.
Assisted by Nikita. So, not only did he score, his goals were assisted by Kucherov and Point.
Yeah, they. I mean, if they get going, them and Boston are gone. So there's two. There's two. Two spots already gone. Let's assume Washington and the Islanders are gone. So there's four playoff spots already accounted for. And they're in maybe a group of, what, 8-9 teams in the East? Let's just go through them quickly. Outside of the Leafs, it's Carolina, Hurricanes, Florida, Philadelphia, that's 4. Buffalo, maybe 5. Who else am I? Pittsburgh, 6. Maybe the Rangers, 7, but they're getting their tits lit right now. So, I mean, they're one of 8 teams competing for 4 spots.
I feel like the Metro, there's a lot of question marks with those teams.
The Metro's pretty garbage, I think.
Yeah.
I actually think the third team is going to be Philadelphia from that division.
They're just going to win shootouts for the rest of the year.
Not even that. I mean, whenever I watch them play, I'm always just like, this team's either winning or wins whenever I watch them play.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I don't know.
I like their head coach, too. Alain Vigneault is a good coach. I feel like has had the tough end of a lot of, like, you know, the Rangers and Canucks both made the Stanley Cup Finals with him as coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And could have, I arguably, like, that Boston series, they were pretty close. And, I mean, the L.A. one, yeah, L.A. was just on a heater at that point.
They got pretty unlucky in that. I remember watching game one where they were up 2-0, and then they just blew that game, and I think they lost in 5.
5 or 6, at least.
5 or 6, yeah.
They lost it in
L.A. LA. I think the Rangers were the one seed that year, so they lost in 6.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like – the thing is that – and I'm gonna shift a little bit to Kyle Dubas right now. We kind of brought this up too. I don't have the issues with the skill and bringing in skilled guys. But I look at a guy like Zach Hyman, and I feel like we only have one Zach Hyman. And he talks about how he wants the skill, the tenacious play. That was a quote. That was a part of the quote that stuck out to me. He wants the team to be tenacious. Skilled players don't always play with that tenacious attitude. You need to have a bit of a mix. And, you know, and right now, there's some questions being made about the decisions. You know, the big contracts that were signed. It's fair at this point because those guys aren't leading the charges they were expected to on a consistent basis. You know, the guys in Tampa are taking a lot of blame for how things are going. Boston, we know that they're relying on their top guys. Edmonton, like, I mean, we bring up Edmonton before. We know that they're a two-player team. So that's the part that's also frustrating the Leafs fans is that, you know, and Austin brought this quote up the other day where Backhawk said playing Matthews 21 minutes against the Blackhawks was too much. But then he says they were dominant.
Yeah, it's one or the other. That's what, I mean, I don't want to make this all about Babcock, but
that comment was super.
I'm so
tired of him.
From where I'm at, you know, I've always said it's cumulative. I was on the big honeymoon phase with Kyle Dubas. I think he's done a lot of really good things, but I think he's done a lot of really bad things. I mean, somehow bungling the backup goaltender thing and not having a backup over a PTO guy is awful. How you just completely go all in on having skilled players, not guys who can penalty kill or not finding a defenseman. I think the biggest issue for them on the power play, I've said it before, is they don't have a guy who can actually take a one-timer like a slap shot. And it is so evident because they just keep everything in the outside. Because Morgan Riley's a great defenseman. He's never scoring on a straight shot. He is never going to beat a goalie when he's just staring at them one-on-one. That's just not going to happen. And also the contracts that he gave up. I mean, outside of the Nylander one, which was probably the only one that made sense, he gave two contracts that had zero precedent for ever being signed. I don't know how you do that twice. Like, there was no precedent. They had no leverage at all. Like, at that point, like, if those numbers were discussed, I'd be like, fine, let's just do one-year deals. I don't care. Like, I own you for at least, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
So, I mean, great. You know, I'll just screw you. And you're not going to sit out and lose $10 million or, like, play by the rules. Like, I don't get how he signed a guy. Like, he walked Matthews to free agency, and he's not taking a discount whatsoever.
No.
And with Marner, like, a winger out of entry level making $11 million is ridiculous. Yeah, who's not a shooter? Who's not a goal scorer? I mean, they're just awful. And that cost them, what, maybe, in hindsight, they redid it, probably $4 million in cap space.
I'd say
you can go out and add more pieces with that $4 million.
I say minimum $3 million at least. And then,
so there's $3 million. You can put it into getting, you know, a guy that's a specific face-off man or a penalty killer or, hell, fucking backup goalie. It's interesting. I was listening to Spit and Chicklets, and they're not really big on stats, but the thing they broke down for Vancouver is they are, I think they have three of the top five face-off guys in terms of face-off wins in the league. It's Bo Horvat, JT Miller, and what's the four? Jay Beagle.
Yeah.
I mean, people have obviously taken licks at Jim Benning for signing the deal with Jay Beagle. I think he gets like $3 million. But yeah, I mean, having a guy who can win faceoffs consistently, can kill penalties, and is a leader is a big thing. Also, I haven't been a fan of the fact that the Leafs have no veteran leaders. They don't have any guy who is like vocal or physical or emotional leader. I think the guy right now is probably Zach Hyman, which is fucking pathetic.
Tavares is their veteran leader, and he's 20.
And he doesn't say shit. And he doesn't say shit.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, the game's on me. It's like, what'd you say, John? The game's on me.
Yeah. I feel like...
Got to get his uncle in the locker room to fire the boys up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right now... those all are valid points. I feel like the goaltending's a big one. Because you're looking at how many teams are now relying on the two-goalie system.
Every single good team. Every single one.
And you see the ones that it hasn't worked out for. Tampa, I would say, yeah, McElhinney is a good goalie, but their situation hasn't been very good. Like, Boston has Halak and Rask.
That works out.
New York Islanders works out.
That's probably... They're probably the ones that kind of change things up for a lot of teams. I mean, Varlamov isn't great, but...
He's been great.
But he's been great because that team plays responsibly in front of him. And I think their goaltending coach is pretty good from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But the thing is just realize that you're a team that relies on offense. You're not going to be playing suffocating defense. So, make it a point to be a threat every time you have the puck. I just don't see that right now. That's the part that kills me. The most dangerous forward the past week and a half, has been William Nylander.
Yeah, he has to maintain this stretch. If he does, I mean, the contract will obviously be, you know, tremendous value, but that's the thing. It doesn't make any sense why you don't play your first two centers 40 minutes a night. Play your third line center 15 minutes, and then your fourth line center 5 minutes. Yeah. It makes no sense to me.
I also liked, before the Marner injury, all the talk about Spezza and whether they should waive him. And then nobody wants to bring up the fact that Nick Shore has looked
invisible,
so bad.
He's awful. He's awful.
He doesn't penalty. I don't see him on the penalty kill. He takes really bad
penalties. He doesn't do anything. He looks like he's dropped into the middle of the ice without skates on. That's how fucking slow his foot speed is.
Yeah, exactly. At least Jason Spezza will do something with the puck to, like, in that game against Philly.
I haven't been thoroughly impressed with Spezza either. I mean, I don't really. Although, there's a lot of people who have gripes with coaching about fourth line decisions, but I mean, people have to stop acting like our fourth line is going to do fucking anything. Nor should they.
No, they don't.
I think probably the worst thing that ever happened was that St. Louis had a fourth line that had like two big goals in the playoffs and played like 10 minutes. They got to realize, then they bitch and complain about how we don't have like a fourth line. Just based on the economics of everything, when you have that, look at what Edmonton is doing. I can't believe I'm fucking using Edmonton as a positive comparable. Like, they know their depth is shit. They got two amazing players. The rest suck.
Yeah.
Offensively. So what do they do? They play them half the game.
Yeah.
The Leafs have the luxury where they can play them two-thirds of the game. Not players of that caliber, but slightly below for sure. And they have actual wingers that play with them. They can do that for 40 minutes, and they always do it for 30 to 35. It's stupid.
Yeah. Except for Zach Hyman. He gets.
And the thing that's even worse is they act like that 5 to 10 minutes isn't a difference in winning a game, because it for sure is.
No, it definitely is. I would agree. I mean, Austin Matthews should get every chance he can to make a difference in the game. Because you're not only because of the caliber of player he is, because that's what you're paying him to do.
Exactly.
John Tavares, the same exact thing. Those guys should be double shifted when you're down.
Yeah. If you're going to pay these fuckers like the most money that you could ever pay them, give them the greatest contract for them, make them play. Make it worth it. Make it worthwhile. break it down for how much they should play compared to someone that makes $900,000, and don't make them play like 20% more. Make them play 10 times as long as guys like fucking Nick Shore.
The fact that two players making over $11 million or at $11 million were playing at 15 minutes down the stretch of last night's game is an absolute abomination.
Yeah, that's like third line shifts. That's atrocious.
Matthews was at 15. JT was at 16 with about 15 to 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I don't. I have no idea how you do that. Like that. That's just like that's peewee shit. You're losing. You put your best players on the ice. I mean, I'm sure anybody that's played any sport ever knows the good players play more when you're losing. The bad players don't.
No, he's got a roll goat.
Yeah, I don't know.
He scored a goal that one time. He's got to play.
Who has been horrendous ever since? He looks so bad.
He just doesn't do anything offensively. Like, he's still in on the puck, but he offers nothing.
He also... Those fourth-line centers have zero foot speed. It's like they're fucking not even moving. It's like they're dropped on the ice with cinder blocks on their feet.
And this is the fastest Goat's looked in his career.
Which is terrible.
It's something. I don't know.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're even going to do any moves. Like, we already know...
You
can't. You have to move salary, and it's like
there's no roster flexibility. This is I've heard it on the radio all day listening to this. This is the group you have. Pull your heads out of your asses and figure out what to do.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. And right now it's on the players. I feel like okay, Kyle Dubas didn't really say much to say whether he expects to make any change. Oh, the only one he talked
about. He said something.
Cody Ceci and stuff like that, which is
Cody Ceci alone.
I mean, he has to defend that though. He can't just say, oh, you know.
He can't justify a move that he made or shit on a move he made.
So if I have this right, they like literally had to take him on for 1 year for the deal to be completed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's,
I'll take him at 1 year rather than Zaitsev have another five. That's fine.
Yeah, it better be 1 year, though, because they're...
He's a UFA after this.
No, next year, I can't believe we're even doing this, but if they somehow don't make the playoffs or they're out of the way, he's going
with, you know, a guy like Brendan or someone else and then put some money in.
Like, it's ridiculous. There is 3.5 million in difference between him and a guy that makes $900K. Justin Hull has looked better than him, if not the exact same play, and he makes what $800,000.
I think less. I think he makes 6 to 7.
Exactly. I mean, they've actually been lucky. He's looked. I'm not going to overshoot it, but he looks like an NHL defenseman, a guy that can play in a bottom pairing, and that's what they need. They're going to need, I think it was Pierre Maguire who broke it down. With the salary structure they have, they're going to need 2 or 3 to 5 contributors who make under $1 million, guys that are playing like $2.5 million players making $900,000.
Yeah, and like there's some like Trevor Moore can do it on some nights.
Trevor Moore is Justin Hull looks like he's
played like a steal when they get up here.
Yeah, but I mean outside of that, nobody else comes to mind.
That bottom six is basically just out there to give the top six or the top nine a break.
Oh, I guess Dermott's still on entry level, so
yeah, Dermott. Great. They better get him locked up though at some point.
Yeah, you kind of wonder what that number's been. I don't know. I haven't really watched him too closely, but I don't think he had a great game yesterday.
No, he didn't have a great game. He's just, I don't know. He's like...
He's a weird player.
He's up and down, but when he's up, he looks like a top four defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, at minimum...
I'm not saying he's crap, but like... When he's at the top of his game and he's going end-to-end on rushes, he looks like he could be a top pair guy.
And but then he just has these like lapses in judgment where it's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
That's true. The question I also have is, you know, how much do the injuries play into this? Because Marner not being in means that you have to bring a guy like Trevor Moore. Actually, I think right now it's Kapanen that's playing with
Tavares. Yeah, which is stupid. I don't know why they did that.
I'm actually at a point where if a team is willing to take on Kapanen, I'd move him because he's not really doing anything for me right now.
I mean, if you're getting, I'd say in the offseason, if you could trade him and, you know, do a move like Washington did with Marcus Johansson, if you can get like two twos or a one, I would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, just because, you know, you need to obviously develop assets in the future. And right now it's pretty barren and they also could use a cap space. But I mean, I'm really high on Kapanen, but there's times where you're just like, I don't know.
He does the same thing every single time he enters the zone.
Yeah, I think James Myrtle had a really good breakdown. He's kind of like a turn and burn guy, where that's why he's a really bad left winger. Like normally guys love playing their off wing. I remember I was a lefty that played on the right wing. I loved it because I had my forehand facing the goal. But for a guy like him, he's not someone that's, you know, capable of catching the puck on the back of his backhand and shooting it right away. He's a guy that, you know, likes to, you know, just kind of turn up the half wall and sort of take a skate. But I don't know. I mean, this is obviously getting into a territory where, you know, if it is catastrophic at the end of the year, there should be no player outside of maybe Matthews that you should have any long-term attachment to. Obviously, you know, a guy like Tavares isn't going anywhere. But, you know, those two guys aside, I think everybody should be in play.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't see a point where you have to think that, look, some of these guys at the Marlies have stepped up. Like, I really like Trevor Moore. I feel like when they broke up that Moore, Kerfoot, McKayev line, that kind of took away.
Yeah, I still don't know why they did that.
I understand the injuries play, like, you know, injuries, you got to move guys around, but that line should have never been.
I think they should stay there.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you have to have some form of continuity. I guess they've had that with the first line, but I don't know. They obviously have guys who will be further down the lineup when people are healthy, but yeah, I'm not sure.
What would you guys feel about having Hyman reunite with Matthews and Nylander?
No.
I don't think that line's the issue. I think they've been firing. Nylander, like you said, thank you for saying it, by the way, has been the Leafs' most consistent player over the last 2 weeks.
I recognize real when it's real.
Yeah, he's been good, but that's the thing with him. I mean, you can see why people dislike him just based on, like, body language, and you see, like, the highs of highs. Where you're just like, wow, this is a guy that can score a point a game. Then you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, he's sort of a really, like, you hate him or you love him type of player. You can see why people do. I think it's completely overreaction by a lot of people on just how bad he is when he's at his worst. But I also think the blame that he gets is ridiculous. But, I mean, if he can play like he is right now, I'd say consistently at 80%. That's the big thing for him, is consistency. If he can be consistent, then that's perfect. He's a perfect winger for your first line center, and he's a guy that should be there for at minimum the next, what, 5 years, I guess he's got after this year, and then four more.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I don't think the first line's the issue. I think putting John Tavares is going to have to carry this second line while Mitch Marner's out, because Kapanen is a possession guy unless he's in on a breakaway.
I just think they should put him with a shooter. I'm trying to think of a lefty that the Leafs have that's a shooter.
Trevor Moore at points, not even. I'm not even gonna say.
I was gonna say he's probably the best fit, but I wouldn't even say he's a shooter. I think he's just
he's just the first guy that comes to mind when I think who should play with Tavares and Hyman.
Yeah, no, they don't really have a lefty winger that's like a big shooter.
I'm trying to even think if they, like,
or do they McKayev, have a McKayev lefty who can score?
He is not a shooter.
No.
Like Patan
definitely not Batan. By the way, I'm sick and tired of seeing him on the fucking power play.
Timoshov.
No, definitely not Timoshov.
Frederick Gauthier.
So this is the thing. It drops. Like, look, Timoshov, okay, fine, fourth line, who cares? Like, the problem is they have too many of these, like, who cares guys.
The Leafs probably have the best fourth line wingers in the history of hockey. They got to have, like, eight guys who could legitimately play in the NHL on a fourth line.
And then you also have a guy like Pierre Engvall that's down in the A.
Yeah, like, they got, real, like, Jeremy Bracco probably is definitely an NHL player. Guys like, yeah, Pierre Engvall, Trevor Moore is an NHL player, Dmitry Timoshov. But, like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of their ceiling at this point is, you know, maybe top nine players at the best. But, yeah.
And that's good for where they got him, honestly.
Oh, yeah, Engvall's for sure.
Seventh rounder. Brocco's the only one that was taken in the top three rounds of that.
Yeah, he's a late second rounder, but I mean they need someone. They need a left winger. Obviously, a guy I was really high on in free agency was Michael Ferland. I thought that would have been a really nice fit, but you know, it kind of is what it is with the way they've allocated some of their funds. Not how I would do it, but I mean you can't really do anything in season, but. You know, we'll see. I'm hopeful that they can turn around just based on you've seen some of the peaks that they've had as a team, obviously with that second period against the Islanders, late in the third period against the Islanders, you know, the second and third against Chicago, you know, games against, you know, St. Louis and Washington where they legitimately dominated really good teams. But then you're just like, how the fuck does it happen? The worst for me is the amount of goals they've allowed in the final 3 minutes of periods, which should be zero. You should allow none. And I feel like every time you're like, okay, we got some good mojo here, and then they allow a goal, and you're just like, fuck, for basically 20 minutes waiting for the next period to start. And it happened yesterday. That I think it was what where they were tied 2-2, and then they allowed a third goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just killer.
The situation, because we were talking about not making playoffs before, it's not something anyone wants to talk about in this fan base because of how high the hopes were, but it's the situation we're in. The expected point totals at the end of the year are what they are. The scariest thing to me was this morning when somebody looked up the six teams the Leafs have beat are six of the seven worst teams in the standings in the NHL in regulation.
Yeah, like, I mean,
it is what it is, and this team needs to win one of these two games over the weekend, or something needs to change. Whether it's, I would hope it's Babcock, but if it's Hextall, if it's somebody going down, if it's got to be something.
I think another positive is that, you know, we always talk about, you know, regression and stuff like that. There has to be some regression in terms of them on, you know, back-to-backs. I mean, they're what, like 0-5-1 on back-to-backs? That's just not sustainable for a team that's this good.
And that's also with Hutchinson and Nett. Now you have Kaskisuo, but he's also
It doesn't even matter. They could have a fucking shooter tutor in Nett. Like there's no fucking way you should lose 100% of your games. Like there's six games. That's like a decent sample size. It's not like they lost it's not like they're 0-2. Like 0-6. Like that's what we call that's what gamblers call a trend.
Mm.
Yep. And I mean, that just can't happen. But I mean, there's regression everywhere, and obviously the whole saying is, you know, regression. Then you sort of get back to the mean. And I don't know. I know one of the only positive things where we hope there's no regression is the fact that the Leafs are, I think, the best team in the league when it comes to win percentage on the first night of back to backs. It would be nice if they could get, you know, close to that one on the second night, but I'm not holding my breath until I see it.
I also want to see how they start the game. That's been another problem, too.
Yeah, that's been awful. That's been awful for
first
years.
First goal, they've given up 15 of the 20 games they've played this year.
Yeah, which is horrible.
It's something that can't continue, like, The idea of chasing the game every time, too, like 15 out of the 20 games, you're chasing your opponent. And what that does is that just plays to your opponent's strengths. And you're not able to establish, as I said, you're not able to establish a game because already your game plan has to change. We're down. Yep. Now we have to make adjustments. So this discussion has been a lot healthier than I was expecting. So I appreciate that both of you have taken the high road with this.
Yeah, we're lucky. We're lucky the Raptors are actually playing well. So yeah. It doesn't make you want to scream into a mic for an hour.
Yeah.
Because it's hilarious. The Raptors right now are currently the exact opposite. The Raptors right now are like the fucking Islanders of the NBA.
I wouldn't say the Islanders because they've got guys like Siakam and Van Vliet that are playing really, really well.
They got right now the Raptors, including all their injuries, have two really good players. The rest are pretty much just role players, and you know they are just elite defensively. I mean,
Terrence Davis.
Exactly. Like,
that guy can ball.
It's actually been astounding. Did you hear the thing about Chris Broussard?
What is he in the fetal position in a corner crying? Because
he said that he thinks it's going to be Clippers Raptors in the finals. Which I don't know if this is a kiss of death or not, but I heard him say it, and I was just like, Jesus Christ! But then you know you start to think about it, and you're like, if they can maintain this defensive, you know,
Toronto's still a trash city with trash fans there, Chris.
I mean, I personally hate him. I couldn't believe he said that when
absolutely
he didn't even say it was. He just said like they're soft. And he was he's like, the fans are soft, the city is soft. And then he goes on to Overdrive, and they call him out for it. And he's like, I'm just kidding. It's like, No, you fucking weren't.
Then we closed out Oracle and took Lee out Larry O.B. Eat a dick.
I don't know. Like, fucking calling anybody soft anywhere is just going to get you yelled at or get your ass kicked.
Yeah, we found that out this week, too.
Whatever. I just find it funny. I guess after the shit kicking he took this off season after his fucking Kawhi to the Lakers things where he basically put his entire
skipping that 15-year-old kid that tries to be
an yeah the guy in
yeah
reputation on the line saying that he was going to the Lakers.
He had been you not heard much from him, but I don't know, maybe getting humbled has made him rethink things.
Now, he broke somebody coming back from injury on the Lakers like 5 minutes after Shams did and tried to pawn it his own like a week ago.
Well, I don't follow him. So I think he
blocked me. I don't either. Me. Somebody retweeted it. I
think he blocked me, so.
Oh, well.
Well, that's unfortunate, but.
No. Probably one of the best moments of my life thus far. Just knowing that he read what I wrote to him, it was just like, fuck this guy.
I'm glad you found that. You found joy in that. With that being said, we are going to leave it there. We are going to see what happens with the Leafs going forward. I assume we can't get too high right now and think that they're going to just totally turn things around right away, but we'll see if anything changes after the closed door meeting with the players, and we'll see if that changes anything. That being said, thank you guys for listening to the Tip of the Tower podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. Gentlemen, thank you again for taking the time. I know you two have to still eat your dinner, so I am now giving you
staring permission. Down these onion rings right now.
I am now giving you permission to go eat your dinner.
All right, thank you.
All right, talk soon, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line,
prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.